I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Me in a discus stance, cover me in butter, and enter me into a soft spread sculpture competition. We're back!
So many things to unpack. A discus stance.
Oh my god, and yeah. A soft spread sculpture competition. Is that an actual thing? I'm gonna Google that.
Is that like a soft cheese? Yeah. It's like a soft cheese.
Soft spread, you know, like butter sculptures. Haven't you guys not seen them?
But is that what sculptures? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
But the thing is, I've often seen margarine or butter sculptures.
How did you know this?
You broke on us for a second there.
Yeah, his internet's dodgy, folks.
No.
It's when he laughs too hard, the internet breaks down. Wow, what an intro. My favorite yet.
Well, I tell you what, I've been to restaurants. I went to one, I think it was my 21st, and in the restaurant, without knowing about it, we were surprised by it. There was a butter sculpture exhibition. So there was these amazing sculptures, and they were all made out of butter. And so you'd go up to them and they were like detailed. Because you can think about it. If you had a huge block of butter, what you could sculpt with it, with a knife and, you know, shape anything into it. And they were like, there was various sort of like Greek statues, but made of butter and things like that. And flowers and what have you. And, I was just at the restaurant for my 21st birthday with the family. And there was also a wonderful so I thought to myself, it stuck with me, excusing the pun. But I,
amazing.
Been a fan of that kind of stuff.
Oh, my God.
In your intro, because it's so far gone now, there was so much detail. When you said pop me into the discus stance, were you then being covered in the butter, or were you modeling for the butter? Are you the first butter model that's actually inside the sculpture?
Well, this is obviously a new segment now where we break down my piece that I say at the start. And we work out what the hell he's talking
podcast.
About and where it comes from.
This is a whole new opportunity for
it's
us.
The problem with me, no matter what I do, people want to break it down, work it out, and explore the meaning behind it. So I'm actually in a discus stance, okay, which is one of my favorite stances where you're throwing a discus. And I can't really show you here in the small box of video that we have, but I used to do discus a lot at school and I was in the school discus team. I go to throw the discus. Now, while I'm in the stance, cover me in butter, okay, so just absolutely – I'm now covered in butter. You can't see me, but I'm still doing the same shape. I'm now made of butter, all right? and then enter me into the soft spread sculpture competition. And people will go, wow, what? That is amazing. Look at the detail. Little do they know, there's an actual guy underneath the butter.
There's a human under there. You could be like one of those guards or one of the centurions outside the Rome, the big Colosseum in Rome, and yeah, charge Colosseum. $5 to have a photo with him. And you could just be covered in butter. You could make a lot of money.
A living statue. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it comes from the idea that there was a human butter statue in this restaurant on my birthday years ago, and I had this weird dream that if you're scraping away the butter on the guy's face, and then suddenly this human eyeball peeped out and sort of looked around, you know, and how horrifying that would be. And you realize, oh my God, there's actual people underneath these things. You know, wow. It's a science fiction idea that freaks me out.
That is amazing. You know what? I've just Googled soft spread sculpture competitions. And that is a massive thing. It's like, and it started 150 years ago with an Arkansas farm woman who really wanted to be an artist, a legit artist. And the only medium that she could find to actually start sculpting was cow fat. And then now it's become this massive thing where people make like sculptures. Butter sculptures, like the size of an entire room. That's
crazy, isn't it? And the fact that, you know, they have to be in a cold room too, otherwise they melt.
Yeah, yeah. They have to be all iced up. So good.
Yeah, cold climates. It's amazing. Even as you were telling that story, Reese, sentences that you said along the way have to be unpacked.
Oh, dear.
As we go along. It's like one of those choose your own adventure where you just met with a new situation. You said, one of my favorite stances for the discus stance. Who has a set of favorite stances
for the discus stance?
What else is in your canon of favorite stances? I don't have a favorite stance.
You don't have favorite stances?
No, who has favorite stances?
Well, you know, obviously when you think about, for me, when you strike a pose, you probably don't strike as many poses as I do. I'm a bit of a pose striker. So when I see someone in the distance and they want to say hello, I'll strike some sort of a pose, you know.
Oh.
And so there's the classic disco one where you point in the air and then you've got your other arm in your midriff area, you know, about to do a boogie. You know, there's obviously the starfish, you know, there's the fist pump.
Obviously, the
starfish, which is just legs astride, arms astride in the air, look of horror on your face that you've been pulled out of the ocean. You know, there's I thought everyone does this stuff.
We do. We're teasing.
Okay, thank God.
Freaked out face starfish in our favorite stance catalog.
I just thought whenever I said g'day to you from across the street that you were pointing up to the that there was something in the sky, and I'd just be like, and now I just realize you're doing the disco stance the whole time. I just sort of stood there and look in the sky going, is he seeing something? Is there something up there? No, just disco stance.
Is that disco or discuss?
Or disgust.
Disgust.
So I tell you what, there's been a hell of a lot happening this week in our little wonderful world of weirdness.
Yes, absolutely. And before we go any further, I think we should do an update on such things as the monolith crisis, because that has gone Pete Tong all over the world. These monoliths have been showing up. There was a second one in California. There was one in Romania. There was another one in Isle of Man. And since then, I'm just trying to think where else were they?
Probably more importantly, the original one that was in California has disappeared.
Oh, yes. That was taken.
It's disappeared.
That was taken by a group of – do you remember who took that? It was a group of artists or – hippies, Christians, I can't remember who took it, but they...
A little bit of each. They were hippie Christian artists.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look through my notes here. I've got so many old notes from, because things kept updating regard.
Do you think that it is, like, there's something genuinely strange behind all this stuff, Or that everybody's trying to jump in on it and it's become like a tourist kind of thing and everybody's got so much time on their hands with COVID at the moment that they're like, let's get John, the stainless steel guy down the road to quickly whip up a monolith.
Oh, it's definitely a trend.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at this article here, Isle of Wight I mentioned. There was another one found standing in a field in Belgium. Also reports emerging from Spain, Germany, Colombia, Texas. And to top things off, the other day I was walking along one of my main streets here in Auckland, Queen Street, sorry, Karanga Happy Road, and I looked into it doesn't matter what street it is, it's too many details. But anyway, I looked in a building. It was an art exhibition. It wasn't open yet, and it was under construction. But you could see through the glass, and lo and behold, three monoliths were in there.
No,
really?
No, I mean yes. So I took a photo of that. So I absolutely think it has become a trend.
Yeah.
And it is. It's totally. It's a boredom thing. It's almost like a cry for help from humanity, of us doing something weird because we would love aliens to help us right now. The Earth is screwed. We're desperate. Mm. There's a lot of these things that come into it. And how do we express ourselves as humans? We do it through art, whether it be music, poetry, writing, stories, and creating sculptures, whether they be margarine or metal. And I think that's really got something to do with it. I think it's really quite amazing that different parts of the world, different artists are coming together and going, you know what, I'll do a monolith as well and I'll chuck it up here. And it's getting out there. It's really cool.
Yeah, but also I've seen a few articles this year where cryptids are very important to a lot of these places. Places that have a bit of a reputation that a cryptid might be there. The local councils or the mayors are saying to the cryptid hunters, hey, could you help maybe look a bit harder and see if you can get a latest sighting so that can make the news and bring people back to us? Because they mock it and then they realize how important it is because the curiosity and the desperation of wanting to find all of these hidden animals is so large that it actually funds a lot of these places. It keeps them alive. It keeps them vibrant. And so they mock and then they're like, please, please, we need people to remain curious because that's why they come here. They're here for that. And so, you know, it's thanks to these monolith people, it's to the cryptid hunters that a lot of small towns are able to stay afloat.
Well, on that note, there has been 12 reported sightings of Nessie this year.
Yeah.
And so I was just reading this article here. And the last year, 2019, was the busiest on record with a total of 18 sightings. And this year, despite the pandemic, there has been 12. So, you know, people are still keen to grasp onto something.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Another update to quickly mention is that last week we were talking about this exhibition that happened at the Rutherford B. Hayes Presidential Library, and it was this thing of cryptids, and it was painted, these beautiful sort of realistic drawings of them, done by a guy called Dan Chazinski, I believe his name was. And since then, someone has told him that he was on the episode and he's been in touch.
That's right. I've got the message right here. He says, one of your listeners tracked me down to let me know that you had mentioned the Ohio and Unnatural History exhibit at the Rutherford B. Hayes Presidential Museum and Library on your last episode. #55, the ho, ho, ho issue. First, I was delighted to discover your podcast. Second, the exhibit at the Hayes Museum has been extended through October 31st, 2021. That's awesome.
Yes. Is that thanks to us? Is that because we talked about it on air?
Popular demand from cryptids.
I think they must have got a few phone calls immediately and they've had to extend.
Wow.
So there you go, folks. You can go and check that out. You've got ages now, all the way through till next October. And by then, of course, I think life will be back to normal, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And on that note, we also have a fan site here, an unofficial Cryptid Factor fans site on Facebook. which I just came across the other day, and I'm just clicking on it now. Let's have a look. I noticed there was only about 30 followers on that. So let me just see if there's an update. I can't get to it because my phone's not letting me unless
that's
I put passwords.
Schreiber family.
Anyway, if you are keen, it looks like there is a group of fans who are discussing various cryptid stuff on the unofficial Cryptid Factor Fans Facebook site. I scrolled through to see how many mentions of me there were. There's only a couple. So it's mainly people just chatting about cryptid stuff.
Oh, dumb.
I know, I can't believe it.
Dumb.
Well, that without us. But I did let them know that I will be stealing any news from that site.
Okay, you got dibs on that.
Yeah.
Can I just quickly say, guys, whilst we're in it, that's a recap! Yay! Yay!
There we go. He's got it.
Once again, it's actually Reese's mouth. Genuinely Reese's mouth did that. It's insane.
The other recap, and I'm sorry to be sad sack again.
You just ended
no,
it.
No, I started it.
No, that's the end of it.
No, that's the start because we start with the end.
Well, why would you do the start of it then? Well, we'd clearly just done it all. You can't say that's the start
guys
of it.
We're doing an update.
We just finished
it. I'm going to do the recap.
So what was that section? What were we just doing?
I don't know, your own thing.
What was that?
Make no, it wasn't. Segment. It was clearly your recap update section.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
No, those were pre-caps. Those were pre-caps.
The pre-caps.
Okay. The pre-caps of the recap.
Well,
section.
I just have to add in a little sad recap.
Here's old sad sacks again.
Well, somebody, it can't all be fun, can it? Science sometimes has
well,
to be
Well, not when
sad.
You're around, obviously. No. Come on, then. Bring me down. I was feeling good.
No, well, you're not going to anymore because the Arecibo Earth satellite station that we talked about last week and the sad news that a couple of cables had broken and that it was teetering on the edge of complete collapse has fully collapsed.
Wow.
All of the cables have given way and the 900-ton receiver that was suspended in the middle of the air has come crashing down, and to say it's irreparable is an understatement. It's completely gone. But the incredible part of all of it was, though, the one little bit of good out of it is that they had video cameras recording it. They actually had a drone up in the air surveying the damage of the cables just to see how it was all holding up when it all collapsed. And rather than collapsing in the middle of the night when nobody could see it, it happened in the middle of the day. I'll show you quickly, eh?
Have you got the video?
Yes, I certainly do. So all those
at
home
God,
listening
now.
Oh, my
God, that's so exciting.
Yeah, and it is actually, I have to say, as much as it's really sad, it's really cool at the same time.
No, but to get it on film, it's like imploding a building, right?
Yeah.
But this is not planned. How exciting.
Telescope, Arecibo.
Stay tuned, listeners.
Here is Okay, here we go. You want ready? Watch.
Yeah. Whoa.
Just literally torn apart. And these massive poles that have been holding this thing there for 60 years just completely just tumble in on top of itself. And it's like, and here's the drone footage. So here's the observatory drone. And look, it's looking at one of the big cables. And look, it starts going pop, 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 pop. And then rap, 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 rap. And it just like is so violent. You look at these massive cables. These cables are like the size that hold up the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
And it's just like, boom.
That is insane. Yeah. So hang on. So what's collapsing? Is the dish itself collapsing there? Or is it
Because see, the thing is the dish really is just a massive reflector. The most important part of an Earth satellite is, and any kind of satellite, is actually the receiver that actually receives all of the focused information that's coming in that bounces in off the dish and gets received up at the one sort of focal point. But, of course, the challenge is that when you've got a 300-meter-wide dish, the receiver, the focal point part, is huge as well. So it was 900 tons. ton of receiver
wow.
that was up in the air. And it was quite an amazing piece of technology, particularly for its day back in the 60s. And the one thing that we forgot to mention last week about this particular Earth satellite is that one of its main functions was also for looking into the universe to try and find extraterrestrial life or signs of extraterrestrial life. And
yeah.
And there are other satellites that do that, but this was one of the best at doing it. And this was also one of the satellites that actually broadcast messages out into space for other, living beings to be able to receive, hopefully, one
so
day.
So maybe it was sabotaged by the monolith.
Well, it's, timing is everything. And I believe meaningful, even if you can't see it at first, later on you look back and you see that things happen sequentially for some sort of a reason. And it really is quite freaky that thing's fallen apart now.
Mm. Yeah.
As the world feels like it's falling apart as well with, not only the pandemic, but also obviously the climate crisis, we're scrunching up. The world's kind of like going, what's happening? Yeah. So hopefully, even though that's a bit doom and gloom, we can turn a corner, guys.
Yeah.
We can turn a corner. Who's going to help us? Well, you'll find out in our famous segment coming up now.
And that's an update. No.
No, now we're going to go into...
what segment?
Weekly World League News. Yeah, right. We still haven't done it yet.
Oh, of course we haven't. Yeah, we've been too busy updating. But well, before we do, can I just show you the message? So the Arecibo message, they've called it, it was an interstellar radio message carrying basic information about humanity and Earth. It was sent to a globular star cluster called M13 in 1974. This this message that was broadcast from Arecibo in 1974 has to travel about 25,000 light years to be able to get to this star cluster, which is going to take years and years and years and years. It's going to take about 25,000 years before this message will actually reach there. So even though Arecibo is completely destroyed now, to some degree, it is kept immortal by this message that is sent out to try and tell other life forms, if they're there, that we exist.
That we exist. It's amazing.
Yeah, Buttons is showing us a Wikipedia page here, which has on its right a demonstration of the message with color added to show what we've been sending to the aliens. What it looks like, if you look at it, is like a game of Tetris that's got out of hand.
It's got way out of hand. It's like 8-bit cave paintings.
It's like, very cool.
Yeah, so that would be a great tattoo, actually.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yes, let's all get it. Guys. Yeah.
Or tiling. We should get that tiled on our walls.
Yes. Tiling or just a bookmark for you, Dan. You
can get it now. Yes, please. Yes. That's amazing.
Oh, that is brilliant.
That's so cool. Messages in space. We should do a whole series on just messages that humans have sent into space. Because they're so
Yeah, what's
random,
out there?
So
yeah.
weird. What have we sent into the universe? It's the Carl Sagan, he did the golden disc that went out on the Voyager missions. And it had all the languages of Earth and so on. And it had all, they tried really odd experimental things. This is one of my favorite things that have been sent out into space. So he created the golden disc. He had all these songs on it and all languages of Earth. Yeah. And he was doing it in conjunction with this lady called Anne Druyan, who was working on a different coastline of America. And they'd only ever spoken on phone. And they were both married at the time, and they were working with each other. But basically, over the process of putting together humanity's best moments, fell in love with each other, independent of ever admitting that to each other. So a few days before the project needs to get hand in and pressed and sent out into space, Anne says to Carl Sagan, I've had this idea that what if the aliens who receive the messages don't understand the pictures, don't understand the words? What if it's telekinesis? We should record someone's mental thinking, do a kind of CAT scan and record their brain waves
and they could read the brainwaves. And he went, that's a brilliant idea. You should do it. You should be the person to do it. So she booked in a CAT scan and she went there to have her brain read. And the night before she went there, Carl Sagan called her up and said, marry me. I'm in love with you. They'd never met. They had never met except for phone calls. And she said, I love you too. Yes. She was madly in love with him.
Wow.
He was madly in love with her. And they decided to get married over the phone. So the next morning, she goes to get this CAT scan. And the job that she's tasked with is she needs to think of all the history of humanity, the best things of humanity, our evolution, the story of how we got to where we are, inventions, everything. But all she could think about was how much she loved Carl Sagan. It's the only thing she could think of. How excited she was, how much she was ready for this love that was about to happen. So on board this spaceship, out in the middle of the galaxy, spiral, you know, traveling millions and billions of miles, is all of humans' recordings. But there is also the brainwaves of love, pure love.
Wow.
Of someone who was just, and for Carl Sagan, the man who created that thing that went out there. That's my favorite thing.
That is awesome.
I didn't know that at all. That is so freaking cool.
It's wonderful. And she talks about it on the internet. You can find a clip of her talking about it. It makes you cry when you listen to it. It's stunning to hear.
That is super cool.
I encourage you to listen.
And what a great story to have at this time of the year as we enter the festive season after a very tough 2020, that there's that vibe of love out there in space. And we can all take something from that.
All right, let's get on to the show.
Yeah, so let's do it. You ready?
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy, freaky, watch out.
All right, what do we have this week, chaps?
Nothing.
Sorry, I was just actually bringing mine up.
Okay, well, if you want, I can go first because mine segues quite nicely from our space talk, and we seem to be delving into the alien sphere, if that's sphere to say. So according to an ex-Israeli space head, aliens have been working with us, mankind that is, for the last 30 years, if not longer. And this news came out, it was all over the place. I'm reading it from the New York Post. Space aliens have reached an agreement with the US government to stay silent, or mum, mum's the word, on experiments they conduct on Earth, as well as their secret base on Mars, which, by the way, apparently they have, until mankind is ready to accept them. And that comes from the former head of Israel's space program, and he's claiming this in a new interview.
Buttons has disappeared.
He's gone. Yeah, he's gone. So he says the aliens have asked not to announce that they are here because humanity is not ready yet. And his name is Haim Eshed, and this is what he's told the Israeli paper. This is according to the Jewish press. The Jewish press speculating that Eshed, who is 87, by the way, may have gone to insanity and beyond. but it goes on to unspool his tangled web, which claims the involvement of President Trump and interplanetary diplomacy. Trump was on the verge of revealing that aliens existed, but the aliens in the Galactic Federation are saying, wait, let people calm down first. Eshed, who helmed Israel's space security program from 1981 to 2010, which is a long time, reportedly said they don't want to start mass hysteria. They don't want to make us sane and understanding. What? They want to first... Oh, they want to first make us sane and understanding. Sorry, I read that wrong. Where's Buttons gone?
Yeah, he's disappeared. I think
we'll just carry on without him.
So interestingly, I was passing my local local corner shop, which is down the road from me, and they have all the newspapers outside, and this was front page news of the Daily Star, which is a very trashy newspaper in the UK, but This has made front page in the UK, the story you're telling about.
It's bizarre, right?
Yeah.
Because I think it's because this chap is quite a high-ranking official, you know, in the Israeli space program, obviously, and security program. And, yeah. You know, he's divulging this information also at the end of his life. He's 87. He's nearing the end. It's when you get to the point where you go, you know, I've had enough. I'm just going to reveal the truth. What's going to happen to me? Or is it that he's gone potty and is just being silly? But it doesn't strike me as something you'd do at that point in your life to be ridiculed at the end of your days, you know? So I'm kind of really intrigued about it. He said there's an agreement between the US government and the aliens. They signed a contract with us to do experiments here. They, too, are researching and trying to understand the whole fabric of the universe, and they want us as helpers. So I think that's so great. You know, there's not the extraterrestrials are doing experiments. They're trying to figure out the fabric of the universe, the same as we are. They're probably way more advanced than us. So they're experimenting here using our planet and all of its wonders that, you know, other planets around us don't have. And it kind of makes sense. But the fact that, you know, well, it just, for me, it aligns to the fact that people keep seeing unidentified flying objects and or UAPs, and there's no explanation. And then in the last couple of years, we've had proof come out from Navy pilots and many high-ranking officials that these things are real. We've recorded them. We just don't know what they're doing. And if they're just here innocently doing experiments, then that kind of checks out.
It's so interesting. There are so many reports, yet isn't it bizarre the lack of interest to really globally just go, let's listen now and try and work out what these people are seeing. Pilots, the Israeli, I mean, I don't know actually what the Israeli space program is like. I'm not sure they have people in space. Maybe they do. I don't know how big that is. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what
they have tried to get to the moon, and I think their last attempt failed, and they're up and running again, and they're in the middle of launching their next one.
Okay, so they're a serious contender.
Absolutely, yeah.
Moon landings, that's amazing. So the fact that the guy who ran that for years, I mean, you have to go seriously loopy in order to, and people always don't give benefit of the doubt to a lot of high-ranking, a lot of NASA people constantly, and I'm there's a difference. There's a lot of NASA people who are ex-NASA, and they always say stuff about aliens. But, like, people who landed on the moon say they saw stuff up there.
Yeah.
They are the best of the right stuff that made it past everything to get to the moon. And they say that they saw things. And we just go, well, they must be going insane. No, they flew to the fucking moon.
Exactly.
I think
take your head off.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a turkey. Take it off and accept that these people are probably not lying. So let me just carry on with this. One of the hubs of the cooperation, according to this chap, is a base on Mars, where, by the way, Eshed claims, American astronauts have already set foot. There's an underground base in the depths of Mars where their representatives are, and also our American astronauts, Eshed has said. Let me read this bit. If I had come up with what I'm saying today 5 years ago, he says, I would have been hospitalized. Wherever I've gone with this in academia, they've said the man has lost his mind, he reportedly said. Today, they're already talking differently. I have nothing to lose. I've received my degrees and awards, and I am respected in universities abroad, where the trend is also changing. So this does go in with the trend of the reveal of the truth of UAPs. These objects are real. They're here. We can admit it. You're not a wacky weirdo if you say, I believe in UFOs anymore. That's fine. It's a legit thing. So this is just the next fold. It's the next unfold, rather, that now truth is coming out that we have been working with these extraterrestrials. You know, that there's a secret space program, which we've all, you know, talked about before. And this kind of all just fits in with that. And I think the fact that, as you say, this is now headline news It's not necessarily just in wacky tabloids, although it definitely is headlining in that, but it is propping up in regular papers and all over the internet, you know, as a thing to read whilst you're looking at the pictures of monoliths on the other side of the page.
Yeah.
Why not for this reveal to come out now in 2020 when we're all crunching up and going, what is happening with our planet?
Exactly. Perfect. Okay, it's worth, because sometimes you hear these names and you think, okay, who the hell is this person? So I've just brought up the Wikipedia page of Hayao Mashhad. Let's see who he is. I think it's worth hearing the context of these people making these claims. So this is his Wikipedia. He's born in 1933, is a retired Brigadier General of the Israeli Defense Forces, professor at the Asher Institute for Space Research, former Director of Space Programs for the Israeli Ministry of Defense for nearly 30 years. He's also an officer of the Israeli Military Intelligence. In 1967, he was awarded Chief of Staff Citation, the highest non-combat decoration award by the IDF. Throughout his career, he's also received the Israeli Defense Prize, the highest civilian defense honor of the State of Israel, three times, but the reasons remain classified.
Ooh. Whoa.
He served at the highly secretive Unit 81, which, that sounds like Area 51.
It does.
Which provided technological solutions to the IDF's military intelligence directorate. So this is a serious guy.
Yeah.
Like, this ain't some dick who's a janitor.
It's not a crackpot. And this, we're not even talking about a science fiction author or anything here. This is a legitimate, it doesn't get any more high ranking than this in the field of what he's talking about and the accolades he's received. So it comes with such strong legitimacy, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I think it's...
Okay, so this is the follow-up from these people. So, the story was released. This is the response from people in America who were spoken about because he said that Trump was talking to them. So... The White House and Israeli officials did not immediately respond to NBC News' request for comment. Sue Goth, a spokesperson for the Pentagon, declined to comment. So, decline, no comment there. NASA did respond. They said they're yet to find signs of extraterrestrial life. And the very famous UFO investigator Nick Pope has said either this is some sort of practical joke or publicity stunt to help sell his book, perhaps with something having been lost in translation or someone in the nose. Someone in the know is breaking rank.
Oh,
So, it's just this is very interesting. You know, I don't know where I sit on it at all, but what I do know is that this guy is a big deal.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on, so also a lot to lose in that regard. Now, as we know, he is 80. I think it was 87. I said, so, but that doesn't mean he's not going to live another 10 years.
Yeah.
After all of those accolades and career achievements, suddenly go, oh, and by the way, we've got a base on Mars. We've been working with aliens for 30 years. And, and all of a sudden, everything he's worked for, everything he's done, people are gone, oh, the guy's an idiot. You know, so it's kind of like, for me, I sit on the fence of support and belief, and that's obviously that's who I am, and also because it's not the first time I've heard about the secret space program. Being involved in the UFO world the last few years, this comes up all the time, and there's a lot of speculation, but there's really a lot of strong belief that there's a lot of stuff we don't know about that's going on, and not with NASA, with other parts of the US government, whereby we are working alongside extraterrestrials with their ships, and we have communication. We have ships up in space that we just don't talk about here on this planet. So, yeah, food for thought.
Food for thought. You know, it's very noticeable that no silly comments were chucked in that. we should try work out where the hell Buttons is.
Oh, yeah, we should point out that we have lost...
Reese hasn't noticed he's gone. Reese has...
Well, there's so much easier to get through the podcast now. You know,
you can actually tell the stories.
Flows better. You know, it doesn't go weird. We don't finish a segment and then he starts the segment again. You know, it's just It's a joy. So just for those listeners, we have lost buttons. We don't know what's happening. Hopefully we're still recording because we have lost his technical wizardry. In fact, this might come out really well, this podcast. I have a message here from the wife, Rosie, who suspects that he is actually on his roof painting as well as trying to record the podcast because we all know what he's like. And he has to get his house done by Christmas, and we know he's rebuilding it. So we suspect, and she's probably correct, that he's doing both right now. Look, we wanted to make this one a quick one. I've got to get going. Let's move on to your piece.
Well, I'm calling him.
Oh, here we go.
Sorry. No, that was me calling you. I did a group call. So hang on. Let me find him and see if we can just bring him into.
Okay.
Into this. I weirdly. Here we go. Let's see if he. Hello?
Hello?
Buttons?
Hello.
Hi.
My phone is completely. Are you there?
Yeah. Where are you? Are you there?
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Buttons?
If you can hear me.
Can you hear me? Call ended.
Wow, dramas.
This is huge.
While we're recording, I think we continue on. So then at least we've got something here.
Yeah,
do you
exactly.
want to do your story?
Yeah, I'll do my story. Okay. My story this week is that a small town in China has made a plea to gather more students for their local dying martial art. Apparently, people are losing interest in the discipline known as Iron Crotch Kung Fu. So,
what? Iron Crotch?
Iron Crotch Kung Fu. So I'm going to just quickly share the video with you here just to give you an idea what Iron Crotch Kung Fu is.
Wow.
Is taking a giant battering ram to his penis. And Iron Crotch Kung Fu is effectively, if you've seen those memes of men being kicked in their genitals repeatedly, that's what it is.
I'm going to have to interject. I've got buttons on the phone here.
Are you?
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
What's happening? Yeah.
I don't know. My internet just turned to total shit. I'm just on the phone to Spark to try and get my other one going. We've got two internet boxes and
both shit. Well, there's your first problem. You're with Spark. You should be with 2 degrees.
For it. International listeners, Reese is paid to advertise for them. That's.
I was just trying to check this, but I'm on like my cell phone because now my phone I'm talking on now has gone to 2G.
So you've lost two of your G's.
Oh God! All my G's are gone. I'm now only one G.
Oh no!
I know.
Okay.
Is Dan still there?
Yeah. I tell you what, it's Dan and I are just continuing on with the Weekly World Weird News. Well,
oh,
it's been really good.
It's going really well, actually. So you don't worry about, you just carry on with the house or whatever you've got to do there. Try and find your G's.
Well, I'm going to come back. Wait there. I'm going to get my G's. And I'm
going to
go find my G's.
What up, G?
No rush.
No rush to nothing. Get back.
I don't want you to realize you can do this all without me.
I think we can. You're breaking up. All right, I've hung up on him there. So let's see what happens with him. He's lost half his G's. I don't know what's going on.
Who's
with the wrong.
2G?
Yeah, he's on 2G. He's lost two of his G's. He's with. The wrong telecommunication company to start with. So I've got no sympathy there. Hopefully he'll figure it out. In the meantime, back to crotch devastation. Now, what the hell is this?
Iron Crotch Kung Fu. So it is guys who basically train their crotches to withstand insane impact. I'm not sure how it can be classified as kung fu, as in, I don't know if you got into a fight, why you would not use other forms of kung fu, but just encourage yourself to be kicked in the dick. I'm not sure how that is it's more a, you're receiving punishment as opposed to inflicting it on someone else. But it's a genuine thing. So the person who's been talking about this is a kung fu master called Wang Liutai, a sort of comically great name. Unfortunate first name for foreign languages. But it's a technique which has been going for quite a long time. And this village that he has been living in, which is called Zhentun, it's on the outskirts of the ancient capital of Laoyang, which I've actually not heard of that. But it's used to be that there were once around 200 people regularly practicing iron crotch attacks in the village. And now there's just over 20. And that number, it says in the article, that can practice the iron crotch technique has dropped from 80 to just 5. So I guess giving demonstrations to the public and showing why it's a fun community thing to be a part of has had less of a...
That is so bizarre. So there's a technique to receiving. Is it always battering ram, as you showed in that video? Is it just anything that can hit the crotch you can sort of withstand?
Exactly. This video is extraordinary because it gives you quite a sort of showcase of all the different... I'll just bring us back into... So if you're watching on Patreon right now, we'll be able to see this. So in the video, you've got a man who's in his, I guess, 60s or 70s, just taking this battering
65,
ram.
Yeah.
65, taking it to his crotch. And then as we get further down... So this is... Look, okay, so now there's a big man... Physically,
he's a big dude.
Pummeling the battering ram into the crotch of our hero Wang. I guess it's like a swing system with a battering ram, which is largely the art.
Yeah,
of attaching. Yeah, so
you know what I think it is. It's because when you're in a fight, you know, one of the easiest places, best places to get a man is in the crotch because it'll take him down. You get the ghoulies, you're gone down, you know. And so if you've got the skill to be able to withstand a hit to the groin, then you can continue on fighting. So I can understand why it is an art form. I mean, I have no idea how they do it. Surely based on some sort of technique, it ends up being you just don't feel it after a while. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, I guess it's not the first martial art you should learn. Because you do need to know to attack. It's probably the third. It's probably you've got jujitsu.
Yeah.
You know, kung fu. Then
karate.
Iron crotch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't start with iron crotch.
No.
Because then
what can you do? Well, I tell you what, I can take ball kicks. Yeah. That's what I can do. Well, can you strike it or no, nothing. All I can do, my only skill is I can withstand a punch or a kick to the groin. What about the face? No, I'm out. If you get me in the I've had it. Yeah.
In that case, if you were about to get in a fight in a pub and you were starting the fight, instead of saying, "Hey, buddy, say that to my face," you'd have to go, "Hey, dude, say that to my balls."
Yeah.
Like, just that's the only bit of you that's ready for the fight.
And it also, you deserve the genuine term of the guy's a nutcase. Because you know that's the only area of the person, of this chap, of this man, I'm assuming it's only men that do this, that have that area ready to take some punches. So you'd be in the bar and you'd basically spread your legs and you'd be pointing down going, "Come on, give it all you got and hang on, I think this guy, he might be one of the remaining, it's a dying art form, but he could be the iron, what is it?
He could be one of the crotch.
He could be an iron crotch aficionado. Well, there's only a few of those left. Yeah, that's right. He looks like he's one of them. Well, I've got a battering ram here. Nah, honestly, he'll just take it. What if we kick him? No, I'm telling you, mate, there's nothing. You could drive a truck into that guy's dick and he's just not going to go down. All right, well, let's leave him. I think we should leave him.
Boss, should we just punch him in the face? No.
Don't be stupid. You don't punch an iron crotch guy in the face. I mean, when his balls are that powerful. Could you reverse it? Could you be, if you're an iron crutcher, could you run at other people with your crutch and yes. get them? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Like if you need to, if you need to break something open, just slam your nuts on it to split it in two, because you know you're not going to get any pain through it. That's such a good point. You don't see the practical use of it.
No.
Yeah, I think that's such a great idea. It's interesting because there's so many bizarre martial arts that you get in China. There's this other one which everyone for a long time thought it was just a plot line for a movie, a really early Jackie Chan movie, which was called Drunken Master. And the idea was that Jackie Chan would only fight people when he was pretending to be drunk because they think he couldn't fight. And so he'd throw his arms around. But that's a real thing. It's a real discipline in China called the drunken kung fu style. And the story, the legend of it, is that there was a drunk guy who went into a monk's monastery who was a bit wieldy and just drunk and trying to start fights. And all the monks who were trained tried to stop him, but they couldn't stop him because they couldn't predict his fight.
Yeah,
because
he was where so his drunk. Movements were going. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
And he kicked ass. And the 30 monks or so that got their ass kicked woke up the next morning and went, whatever that was is a style we need to do. Because you can't predict it. There's no sense to it. And so drunken kung fu is a real thing. And if you see it being fought, it's just dudes who haven't had a drink just looking like they're about to pass out. And it's, because you can't work out where the
just the wavy arm movements and the unpredictable.
Yeah.
You know what? That would be my style, I think, because I like that. It's kind of a freestyle. You don't know where the shots are going to go. There's nothing regimented. It's completely, I would probably call it, loosey-goosey, you know. I'm a black belt in loosey-goosey. Come near me and you don't know where I'm going to flail. And that's not fail, that's flail with an L. And also, I'll probably have a couple of gin and tonics beforehand, you know, just to, why not?
I think so. I think also if you do it as a butter statue, even if they could get to you, they couldn't get any grip. This could be...
Exactly, that's it. We dress completely in butter for loosey-goosey. And we have a couple of shots of whatever drink you want. And then we just enter villages. And we're actually, you know, we're probably going to be the rivals to the iron crotches. Because we can just rub up against the crotch in the wrong way with a bit of soft spread. A couple of drinks. That guy's going down.
Imagine explaining the next day to your boss, kung fu boss, of the fight that you lost last night. How did they beat you? You're the best of all. You're our number one guy. All right. You're not going to believe me, but this dude covered in butter, who was drunk as hell, doing a loosey-goosey thing.
Oh, not loosey-goosey. Oh, I heard the legend, but I didn't think it was real. What was the pose? Discus. Yeah, he was definitely in the discus. He came through the door and did starfish, astonished. And we knew then that it was the loosey-goosey butter boys.
Loosey-goosey butter boys. Yes. That should be the message that we send to space. Don't think of invading, you alien dickheads, because the loosey-goosey butter boys are ready for you.
They're going to starfish you. And they're going to finish you with a discus move that will take you back to your disco.
But Carl Sagan said it was all love and peace there. Oh, no.
Oh, it used to be before 2020. A little podcast popped up.
Should we quickly get a Leon update? We should try and...
Yeah, what's happened to the guy? You call him.
Coming back in. I think maybe because I'm calling him through the internet.
I'll try him.
Yeah, you try him on a phone line because that might... I might be a couple of G's above what he's capable of through an internet call.
Calling Leon.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, bro, what's up?
I've just got to, the internet's just turned to shit. It's like, I can't even answer Dan's, because he's trying to call me on thing. It's just, I've got 2G and that's it.
Oh, man, that stink. It's got nothing to do with the satellite falling down in Puerto Rico, has it?
The Arecibo
Was our internet linked to that satellite?
Well, why is it, damn it? And we just ran out.
Oh, well, that's it for the internet for New Zealand. I knew we had an affiliation with Puerto Rico.
We're going to have to pay to make another 300-foot-long dish. Now, how are we going to do that?
Well, easily. We misorder like they did in the first place. We order one that we think is going to be 3 meters, you know, and we get someone, a young junior on reception there, and they get the numbers wrong, and they, next thing we know, we get a 300-meter one.
No, we'll order a 30-meter one, and then they'll deliver a 3-meter one.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what's going to happen. Just to be sure that doesn't happen, what we need to do then is we need to order a 300,000-meter one.
Okay, well, so what are you guys doing then? Are you...
We're recording.
We're recording the podcast. You're still on it now. I've got this on speaker. So if you want to... If you've got any shout-outs you want to do to the fans or anything, you can do that now.
I've got my weekly World Weird News.
Okay, yeah. We'll do it. I can relay my comments to you, Reese.
Okay.
Can I still do it, or do I not do it?
Oh, I just don't think the quality is going to come through very well. I mean, personally.
What, you mean the quality of content or the quality of audio?
Both.
Well, the quality of content is never... comes out very well.
I can hear him really well. It's coming through to me.
Dan
really
can hear you really well. So do it. And if the quality isn't very good, you might cut out.
Okay.
No pressure.
What was your guys' news? How did you guys do news without me? It wouldn't have been very funny.
It was actually really good. Yeah. Okay. We've got the Loosey Goosey Butter Boys versus the Iron Crotch Bandits. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to do the Iron Crotch news.
Well, that was Dan's. It was a really weird martial art that's dying out. And, yeah.
For a good reason. For a very good reason.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, well, my little bit of news. I can't do it now. I was about to read about how a super fast military aircraft hit Mach 20 before... hitting the ocean.
Wow.
And then I was just about to read and go into how this whole military aircraft, and it looks, and it's basically a triangle shape like all of the UFO sightings that you're seeing.
Ah.
But then I just looked and saw that it's from August the 18th, 2011.
Oh, classic buttons.
Reading the whole story, I've researched it, I've like done a whole bunch of stuff to be like,
Look, what did I say earlier? How old is your phone? You've only got a 1G phone with really old articles in it. You need to leave Spark and go to 2 Degrees. Go to a more modern tel company, telco.
Honestly, this one here is like, I hit mute. I do a search and say news, and it comes up with stuff from 2011. It's like,
yeah, because that's when the company went bust. You're their last customer.
Oh, damn it! But the problem is I can't even try and quickly Google any more news because I've got no internet.
No. All right. Well, look. I've got to be honest with you, we've got more than enough content for this episode, so we're gonna go and do a cryptid buzz story, and then we'll call it quits.
Okay, that's a good idea. Well, somebody's gonna have to play this thing, because I can't.
Okay. Now it's time for cryptid. Something like that. buzz. Attention. Yeah, I missed that bit. Anyway, this whole podcast is like, you know, in Jumanji 2, I'm assuming you've all seen the greatest movies ever made, when when things get a little out of hand, when the video game breaks and all the wires are loose and, you know, characters become the wrong avatars and things like that. That's what this podcast feels like. We've lost you. You're now through a phone on speaker.
He's like in a parallel universe here.
You're in another universe. Finally, you actually seem coming across better than you do normally online. And yet the stories aren't working. The communication's not there. The satellite's broken down. The monoliths are turning up everywhere. I did my news about the fact that the Israeli secret space chief has admitted that we've been working with ETs for the last 30 years.
See, that was my other bit of news, but I didn't even bother with that because I knew that you were going to take that one.
I delivered it.
I'm not even needed anymore.
Well, no. I mean, even the podcast is trying to get rid of you. Look, the internet's broken down for you.
Maybe that's what the monoliths are for. The monoliths are here just to get rid of me off the podcast. They're actually here taking me out one at a time.
Buttons, can you hear me? Buttons, can you hear me?
Oh, I can now. I can just a little bit now, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, so if Reese holds... Okay, just for the people who don't have Patreon and can't see this, this is the way this podcast is working. Reese is holding his mobile phone on speakerphone. He's taken one of his headphones off, holding it to the top bit of the phone. So Reese, it's the wrong way around. You should put that bit to the bottom of the phone.
Oh.
Because that's where you would speak. Can you hear me better now?
Is that better?
Buttons?
Talk?
Hello, hello.
Can you hear me?
Not you. Dan, talk.
Can you hear me, Buttons? Reese, this is like a weird romance blind date where Buttons and I are talking to each other via phone and headphone. And Reese is moderating it.
I can hear you perfectly now. Right.
Oh,
I can't hear you very well, Dan. I can only hear through my left ear, but you're very faint. I'm wondering whether...
Well, I'll wave when I'm talking and you can then...
That's not my good ear.
Oh, okay, let's swap ears. Let's see how it works with the other ear.
Well, hang on. That's better. I just didn't have the muff on properly. I had loose muff.
Loose muff. All right. I think we're back in business.
There we go. That's pretty normal. I've got my phone to one headphone. I can't see the screen very well. All right. Well, this is. I think this is the new way we do it, guys. This is.
You look like some mad podcast cyborg.
All right. I think let's just quickly wrap it up with one cryptid story. Yeah. So I've got something that I have to go into my phone to collect it. There's been some more big cat sightings. This time in Halifax. In the UK. So now I've taken my headphone away from the mic on the phone so Dan can't hear. No, you can't hear Dan, but Dan's going to be quiet for a minute anyway while I talk about this. Mystery continues as the third alleged sighting of a big cat in Halifax. And this one, CCTV footage, which is really cool. Yeah, I'd really love to show you this, but I'm looking at it right now, and it is definitely a giant cat in CCTV footage walking from the right of screen into the center of the screen and just going in behind a van. The apparent footage shows a cat-like animal, which I would say is definitely a cat, in Hopwood Lane, near the McVitie's factory. Remember McVitie's? I think they do Bickies and things, don't they?
The biscuits, yeah.
Yeah. So the video comes after two alleged sightings at Dean Clough Mills and the Peace Hall. The Peace Hall. That's peace as in a piece of biscuit, by the way. from the footage, it appears to show large animal crossing out of a sheltered car park close to Stodfold at the mill complex. It's really, really cool footage. I'll actually show you, Dan. I can see that you are available on my screens. Let me show you this just to show you.
Where was this, did you say?
This is in Halifax. Hey, Dan, you're going about to watch it. Can you see the screen here?
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to push play on it. Watch for the cat. There it comes.
Oh, whoa.
Big.
Could that be a dog? Is it possible that's a dog?
This is not fair. I hate this.
It is so exciting. Buttons. You're missing out here, man.
This is a terrible podcast to listen to. I can't understand why anybody would ever want to listen to this podcast.
We're going to, just to punish you more, we're going to watch it again.
Where is Halifax? What country is that? I don't know.
It's the UK.
That's the UK? Oh, because I know there's a bank. I know the Halifax Bank.
What are you guys doing now?
We're just watching the video again.
Come on.
Okay, Dan thinks it's a dog. All right, but look.
I think it's a big dog.
It's not. It's.
Well, actually, I think it's an average-sized dog.
I think it's a dog.
And there's more on it here. Okay, so we've got more information. And this one's from the Daily Star. Big cat spotted prowling UK town centre 3 times in the last week. It's not just one sighting, guys. 3 times. The terrifying beast prowling the UK town. The beast has said to be have been terrorising the streets of Halifax, leaving people mystified as to what the animal could be. The first sighting was November 25th. Are you seeing what we're seeing? Said someone on Twitter. CCTV footage from the Peace Hall. You're not seeing it. And then we've got more reports coming through November 27th, where it appeared, as I say, in a sheltered car park close to Stodd Fold. A third sighting on Monday, November 30th, Hopwood Lane near McVitie's. I'm just repeating myself now. But there we have it. You know, big cats, they are really coming out. And this is the thing that doesn't surprise me. There's so much CCTV going on, especially in the UK. Like, literally every street has a camera on, right? So
yeah.
If these things are coming into town, and they're more likely to come into towns and small villages now that people are sort of locked down in their houses, human activity is less than what it was 6 months ago because we're staying inside more because of the pandemic, maybe these animals are feeling more confident to come out. We're going to get more. We've got someone here on Twitter saying, OMG, that's no domestic moggy. Wasn't there sightings of a large black cat 20 or 30 years ago? So, yeah, well, probably. Of course there would have been. That happens all the time.
Yeah. I can finish that poem, though. Oh, my OMG, that's no domestic moggy. It's a doggy.
You're not supposed to be a cynic in these. This is cryptic news.
Where I live in South London, there's a local dog that every time we pass it, Wolf goes, my oldest son goes, it's the big bad wolf. And it's this giant, it's shaggy, it looks like a horse, it's a big dog. And when I look at that footage, that's what I'm seeing, a giant dog on the loose. So actually, we should look for the local ads to see if anyone's lost a giant dog, because that might solve the footage that we're seeing.
Can you hear
possibly.
Him, Buttons?
We'll see if anybody's lost a big bad wolf. I mean, you know, Little Red Riding Hood, you know, anybody checked in with her?
No, because she died, didn't she? Didn't she get eaten?
No, she got saved by the woodsman.
She got saved.
Oh, okay. I must have made up my ending.
Gave up halfway through.
Went,
no, this is a shit story.
Yeah, I gave up. I'll be like, no, she's dead. She's gone. What else we got? What other stories we got? But look, here's my disagreement with Dan is that I think that, you know, that was perfectly cat movement, and I don't think Dan knows much about how cats move. They move very differently to dogs. Am I right, listeners?
Buttons, you're the listener. We need your response here.
Having both of your conviction to judge the footage by, which I now realise this is, you know, how people must be able to judge how...
Excuse me, listener, look, you're getting a lot of privilege here. Listeners don't normally get to even have any say, so just watch yourself and just bear in mind that I'm the leader of this podcast, so if you are going to sway, you might want to sway in the right direction, Mr. Listener.
I listen to both of us, and I think it's a cat.
There we go.
Based on the fact that there is a story about it being called a cat, and he's a cat guy. Reese loves his cat.
That's right.
Okay, but let me...
Here's Dan.
Let me throw this into the mix. Can you hear me, Buttons?
Yep.
Okay, when a cat walks, there's a very... And even big cats, there's that really sexy walk, the walk that sways, like David Bowie's walking towards you, you know, like a cat walk. Well, I think it's why they call it the cat walk, because the legs are moving differently. I think in this footage, we don't have those hip movements that a cat gives you. We're getting a straight-out dog walk, the walk of shame home kind of walk.
Well, I disagree, and I think it's almost worth watching it one more time.
Yeah, let's do it.
So
yeah, let's watch it one more time. I can't wait.
It's just unfortunate for those listeners out there that can't see this. I know we've got one of our biggest listeners who is a fan of the show, Buttons, who's now no longer in the show, but is one of our biggest listeners, and he's just sort of going through not being able to watch this. But Dan, one more time here.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, hang on. One of my icons got in the way. Oh, I just secretly saw it, and I'm so still in the camp of cats.
So I'm not going to get to see it.
No, we're doing it again. I'm even going to make the screen bigger.
All right, here we go.
Check this out, listeners. How's it going, listener?
I love it. You know, definitely cat-like. Wow, look at that. Look at that tail.
Hey, I haven't even showed it yet. So you're wrong.
Obvious bias going on here.
Obvious bias.
Oh,
yeah, just be quiet, listener. This is for me and Dan, the viewers. Oh, here it comes now, Dan. You're going to... And also look for the curly tail, okay? It's a dead giveaway, mate. All right. There's no dog happening here. Here it is.
It's a dog.
Dog. Come on. One last time.
It's a big-ass chow chow-like dog. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh,
he saw the tail.
Okay. I didn't see the tail before. Okay, hang on,
again.
Play that again. Whoa. Oh.
Is that a mind
change?
Hello. Did he change his mind?
Okay, yeah, because it's like an upside-down candy cane for our listeners. Like, it droops to the floor and then turns up like a walking cane flipped upside down. Okay, I back off. I apologize.
There we go. So, mystery solved here on the Cryptid Factor through one of our top listeners, Buttons. A man wearing a turkey hat, which is Dan.
Have we even mentioned the fact that Dan is wearing a Christmas turkey hat?
I think I did allude to it.
Well, look at the turkey now, because he thought it was a dog. See, the point of this exercise is to point out that not all cats have a sexy walk.
That is exactly true. Yeah, it's. I would say it's a cat with a less than sexy walk. And also, by the way, on the video, it looked like the cat was very well fed. It didn't. It looked. It had a bit of weight to it, because normally cats have a slim body, which does pertain to it being a possible dog, like a lab, like a black lab. But that curly tail, it was a giveaway, and I still think the walk was cat like. But it wasn't elegant enough. But it was, perhaps it was half cat, half dog.
Wow. Okay. Well, now we're entering a new territory.
Here, look, Dan's
we're
talking.
Now entering a new...
Dan's talking, listener. He gets precedence over you.
Sorry. Okay,
what? Half cat, half dog is a whole new podcast. Let alone our things sent into space.
My headphones have come off. I can't hear anyone. This is a complete shambles.
I'll wave. So I'm doing my cat dog theory for a new podcast series. Okay, Reese can't hear. He's got nothing. Buttons, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. This is great. Let's do the show again like this.
Okay, so this is weird. Reese is the only one who can't hear us now, but we can hear each other, which is amazing. Okay.
Hey, guys, I can't hear what's going on, so I'm just going to have to head off. It's been great.
It's been quite some great.
This has been the craziest thing that's ever happened to me this week. But... If anyone out there can hear me, I know that you probably can. I just can't hear you guys. Don't forget, next week is our big Christmas show. We're going to stuff recording. We're going to go live. Okay. It's the only way to go. We need to get the, you need to get more G's on your internet buttons. We can all, it's Christmas theme. You've come a week early with your turkey hat, Dan. We need to see that again next week. and we're going to see if we can have some guests and some live action with the actual fans, not just you, Buttons.
Well, I need a show for the Patreon viewers of this show, which genuinely you need to subscribe to the Patreon purely for this episode. I think this is worth it alone. But just for those who are on Patreon, I'll just quickly show you the one last thing. I've been wearing a turkey hat the whole time. This is not just a stagnant turkey hat. It's an interactive turkey hat. So to end the show, let me quickly show you the abilities of this hat. Here we go.
Oh, this is going to be great for the listeners. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What's happening?
It's a dancing hat.
What's going on?
The turkey legs are dancing, and there's a song playing.
That.
You're missing out, man. Oh.
I'm missing Christmas.
It's the greatest thing ever. You should have seen it. You'll have to join Patreon.
Oh, God damn it. I don't want to.
Okay. The music started. I'll see you later.
Bye.
See you next week. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.